Good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Healing Place. I am your host, Nicole Jackson, certified marriage and family therapist and licensed professional counselor. I am so excited that you have taken the time out of your schedule to join us here tonight at The Healing Place. We've got an awesome show lined up for you. I want to go ahead and introduce to you our very special guest, who I am so excited to have with us tonight joining us. And that is none other than Dr. Sarah Allen. And give you a little bit of background information about Dr. Allen before she comes on. Dr. Allen is trained as a clinical psychologist. She was trained as a clinical psychologist in the United Kingdom, where she completed her doctoral thesis on birth trauma and postpartum depression. She moved to the U.S. about 16 years ago. And since she's been here, she's worked primarily in private practice, specializing in women's mental health issues, just like postpartum depression. And she has held a number of different positions and support organizations for postpartum, for depression, the Postpartum Depression Alliance of Illinois, which is a nonprofit organization that provides pregnant and postpartum women and their family support and referrals for services within Illinois. And she's very, very passionate about working with women with postpartum depression and trying to help, again, you know, get resources and sources to women who are going through this, which can really be a horrific time in their lives when it's supposed to be a very joyous time. So without further ado, if you would please put your hands together and help me welcome Dr. Sarah Allen to The Healing Place.
Good evening, Nicole.
You got to get your round of applause.
Well, thank you very much. I'm very pleased to be here.
Good evening, Dr. Allen. Thank you so much for joining us here at The Healing Place. How are you doing this evening?
Oh, I'm doing very well, thank you. It's interesting to listen to what you're saying and how mood disorders can affect, you know, when people set goals at the beginning of the year. Because if you're depressed, it's really hard to get the energy, get the motivation together to meet those goals, isn't it? You lose interest in your activities. So I do think this is a very interesting show.
Yes, and you're so right. And what I wanted to ask you is I wanted to, as we move into the topic, is to talk about first some of the symptoms of depression, because again, as I said, sometimes we use the word depression, you know, out in the community, people use it and they don't really quite understand what it looks like. And I know that you primarily focus on postpartum depression, but I believe that the symptoms present themselves pretty much the same for someone who may be a male that's depressed and someone who may be a woman who's dealing with postpartum depression as some of the basic underlying symptoms. Right. Can you give us what, in your opinion, are some of the main symptoms that we would find in someone who is clinically depressed?
Yes, no, I can. So primarily you think somebody is sad or they're crying, you know, they feel hopeless. But it's not just feeling sad. People can just as easily feel anxious or feel empty. So it's a bit of a misnomer saying it's, you know, just sadness that people are experiencing. A lot of people I see, they have feelings of anger and irritability, you know, lack of interest in everything that's going around them and what they need to do. So, and, you know, I mentioned before that decreased energy, that fatigue, the difficulty concentrating, making decisions. You know, it's very different for everybody. Mm-hmm. So there is no one thing fits all. And, you know, especially for postpartum depression, that's a big umbrella term. You know, people, when they've had a baby and they are diagnosed with postpartum depression, it has to be in the first year after baby to be PPD or postpartum depression. But you're right, the symptoms of depression or anxiety are very similar, whether it's postpartum or in the general population.
Okay, and so sometimes you're right. You see, it can manifest like you said in anxiety or not being able to focus. And I think those are some of the ones that people primarily don't hear about, because you do typically just hear all sad and crying. But you also can see someone who may have a significant weight gain or weight loss.
Right, I think I agree. Overeating or appetite loss is a very common symptom of depression and anxiety. So it's doing something different from what you normally do. So if you have a normal appetite and then you start overeating or comfort eating, then that's a symptom for you. And lots of other people, they lose their appetite altogether. They feel too tense, too nervous. And again, they normally have a good appetite. So this is a symptom for them if it's an appetite loss.
Definitely. Okay. And also insomnia and, what we call hypersomnia, where you're sleeping too much. So it can be you're not sleeping enough or not getting any sleep, or you're just sleeping for hours and hours at a time, as we say, sleeping the day away.
The whole sleep issue is a big one for when you just had a baby, because you're not getting your regular sleep anyway. So I do think that women and their family members, they often kind of miss that it's postpartum depression going on, because they're not expecting to get normal sleep, are they? So but what I normally ask women is, are you able to sleep when the baby's sleeping? So if they can't, if they're lying awake worrying, or they keep going to check the baby to see if they're still breathing, you have postpartum anxiety. If they just can't get off the sofa, they're just feeling tired all the time, and all they want to do is sleep, then again, that's a symptom that it's more than just the tiredness of being woken up for feeds in the night.
Okay. And that's a very good question to ask, because I don't know that I would have thought about that, because you're right. When you are a new mom, you're not expecting to get much sleep. Everybody always says before you have the baby to sleep now, because when that baby gets here, you're not going to get any rest. So I like how you ask the question a different way. Instead of saying, are you sleeping, you're asking, well, when the baby is sleeping, are you able to sleep? I think that's a very good way of asking that question to a new mom, because it is a little bit different.
And again, with the appetite loss and you're a new mom, you need to figure out whether the person's just not eating properly because now they're so busy, they're overwhelmed by all the needs of the baby that they're just not making time to eat, or whether it's actually a change in their appetite. So, I do tell everybody that I say you've got to feed yourself for like every 3 to 4 hours to keep your blood sugar level up. So, you can meet the needs of everybody else around you. You don't want to be tired because you're not having time to feed yourself.
Yeah, that's true. That is definitely true. And I can speak from experience, because I myself just have a newborn. So I totally, and even though this is baby number 4 for me, my husband still has to make me stop and eat, because I'm finding all this other stuff to do, feed the baby and do all this, instead of taking that time to nourish myself and actually sit and eat. So I definitely know how that goes.
You have to do that. Well, a big part of treatment, so I don't know if you want to get onto treatment yet, a big part of that is self-care. So that includes letting yourself have proper rest, good nutrition, and allowing other people to help you. And as you're saying, your husband's helping, but not just trying to do everything all by yourself, which when you've got 4, I'm sure that's impossible. You need to be able to other people to step in and help you out there. So self-care is a huge part of it, isn't it? Because that's something people, if they're depressed, they're feeling helpless, worthless. Sometimes people feel very guilty about asking for help or needing help. And so a big part of it is letting people accept some support from other people to look after themselves.
Definitely. Yeah, I'm glad you pointed that out, because that does go across, like you said, it goes across to someone who's suffering from just general depression as well, that not wanting to ask for help or letting someone help them or feeling guilty if they do reach out for help. So, yeah, I get that as well. So I want to ask you this, because just like, in the community, we talk about depression just in layman's terms, and we use that to kind of label anybody who's sad sometimes. I want to talk about some of the major myths and misconceptions that are out there about mood disorders, depression and postpartum depression. What would you say are some of the main ones that you've come into contact with?
We mentioned it briefly at the beginning, but when people think of postpartum depression, they're thinking that people are sad and crying. And often that's just not how it it comes about. You know, mm-hmm. usually people, yes, they do have a low mood, but have disrupted sleep and all those things. But I find predominantly it's anxiety and worry. So it's a bit of a wrong term to say postpartum depression, because a lot of it is worrying, anxiety, worrying about the baby, worrying about whether you're doing mothering right. So it can look very different for every woman. PPD isn't, one size fits all. You have to really listen to women and see what their symptoms are. For mm-hmm. example, under the subtype of postpartum depression, we've got like postpartum obsessive compulsive disorder. So that's mm-hmm. when a woman has very repetitive, upsetting and unwanted thoughts, mental images, we call them obsessions. And a lot to do in the postpartum period is about maybe harm's going to come to the baby. So they kind of get fixated. Thoughts are very scary to be thinking this. About 3-5% of pregnant or postpartum women get the OCD, which, I don't know if you're going to talk more about different types of depression, but that is one type of depression. So in postpartum women, around about 15% of women get postpartum depression. So that's a huge number. So I think it's important to talk about how common that is. And, of course, that 15% of women are people who are reporting it. So think about all those other people who aren't telling others what's going on. So they're not reporting
it. Oh, yeah.
I think it's much bigger. And the research in the last few years has really focused on women get pregnant depression too. So pregnancy anxiety and depression. So it's not just mm-hmm. postpartum anymore. It's just as common during pregnancy. And I don't think we realized that until the last few years.
Yeah, and I don't think we have either, because I think for a lot of women, if you are depressed during pregnancy, it increases very much so your likelihood of having postpartum mm-hmm. depression or having a more severe, case of postpartum depression once you do deliver the baby. But I just think a lot of times people say, oh, those are just her hormones, she's just pregnant. I just came out of that, when women are pregnant and we're going through those kinds of emotional or mood changes, mm-hmm. and it could really be depression. And I'm glad you pointed out the number that, 15% of women, and that's a very, very high number, and that's just for postpartum depression. But the research shows that the regular depression, statistically, there are huge amounts of people in general that are suffering from depression. And just like you said, that's all that's reported. So if only 15% is reported for postpartum, and we think about the numbers for depression in general, there are a whole lot of people who are not reporting and not getting help. And that's the scary part, is that there are so many people who are going through depression on whatever level or whatever type that are not mm-hmm. getting adequate help, and they're having to deal with these roller coaster of emotions without any resources. And so that's just awful. And that's I want to move into briefly before we break, is talking about some of the symptoms, some of the treatment that might be available and resources and things like that you have found to be helpful for women going through postpartum depression that might also be, useful for general population as well.
Yeah, no, I think so. There is one more myth, though, I'd like to cover before we move on, because I think it's a really important one. And that is that women with postpartum depression hurt themselves or they hurt their kids, because there's been a lot in the news with, Andrea Yates and then others, especially over here in Illinois, with women that have had severe forms of postpartum depression called postpartum psychosis, who have harmed themselves or their babies. And I think that's what makes the news. It's like sensationalist newspaper coverage. So when women are thinking about postpartum depression, they're thinking that severe type. And so they don't want to come forward and tell anybody, because they think, oh, my God, this is going to happen to me. Someone's going to take my children away. They're going to think I'm a bad mother. So that is such a huge myth. Only about 0.1% of women get postpartum psychosis. So it's such a small number. But that's what you hear about, is that those extreme cases. And out of that 0.1% of women with postpartum psychosis, it's about 1% of that who actually go on to harm themselves. So we're talking about such a small amount of numbers here that women experience a severe form of postpartum depression.
Most and you said that's 0.1%?
0.1%. So like one in every 1,000 births a woman might have postpartum psychosis. But then 1% of that, so, you know, I'm not very good at the math, but a tiny amount of women go on to do this. But that's what you read about. That's what hits the news because, you know, people buy newspapers because it's sensationalist. But everyday women's experience, it isn't that. You know, it's just that they're not enjoying motherhood how they thought they would. They feel overwhelmed. They're just finding it very hard to adjust to having a baby. You know, and I mean, the last myth I want to cover is it will just go away on its own. You just have to just help with it. The treatment, you know, and then we're going to talk about that after the break, is very readily available, and it works. So you don't have to carry on feeling like this. You need to reach out and get some professional help because it's very highly treatable.
I'm glad you said that because that was one of the things that I was going to mention is that, you know, one of the myths that I come across is that, oh, just get over it, you know, stop crying, get up, or it'll go away. Just like you said, it'll go away on its own. And, you know, for some people, they may be resilient enough to handle it and come through it on their own and move forward. But for the majority of people who are really clinically depressed or clinically going through postpartum depression, they need some type of resource and support. And so I'm really, really glad that you pointed that out as a myth, that it will just go away on its own. So,
And so programs like yours, which are telling people about the different types and the different symptoms, we're normalizing this a lot more, telling people how common it is. So, you know, go see your doctor and talk to them about the different treatment options available to you in your area. So because it is treatable, you don't have to carry on feeling like this. And, you know, you're really not alone in this. It's happening to so
many people. Exactly. It is. And so it really, really is. Dr. Allen, we're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, you know, I'd like for you to just share with us, again, some of the, I guess, treatment options and support resources that are available, like that work best for, or that have worked best for your clients and that you think might work well for general population of depression as well. Okay?
Okay. Sure.
All right, guys. Hold tight, and we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Are you tired of your body sitting at work while your mind is on vacation? Well, let Roberts Travel Services take your body where your mind wants to go. From Tahiti for a romantic getaway to Vegas for a girl's getaway, Roberts Travel Services will take great care of you. Visit them at robertstourismservices.com or give them a call at 404-939-6638. That's 404-939-6638. And if you would like to help people see the world, make money while they do it, and receive travel perks as a travel agent, give Ms. Roberts a call at 404-939-6638. Roberts Travel Services. Let them help you see the world.
Good morning. I had a good night's sleep and did.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in here to The Healing Place. For those of you who are just joining us, welcome, welcome, welcome. For those of you who have been here with us for the first segment, again, I thank you for being here with us. We have been talking tonight with Dr. Sarah Allen from Illinois, and we've been talking about basically depression and postpartum depression and how these mood disorders can definitely interfere with us reaching our goals. We're talking about our theme this month being our mid-year checkup and that we're checking in to see what types of obstacles could possibly hinder us from reaching those goals that we set at the beginning of the year. And Dr. Allen and I have been talking about the fact that depression in itself can be one of those major obstacles because you just really don't feel like doing the things that you normally want to do or you just are not excited about what you were before and a number of other symptoms that I'll recap here shortly. Dr. Allen, again, thank you so much for joining us. And I know you have to run, but if you would please share with us some of those treatment options or things that are available. But before you do that, guys, those of you who are just listening in, before I forget, if at any time during the conversation you want to chime in or you have a question, all you have to do is, if you're listening already on the line, dial 1, and we'll get you in queue. If you are listening via the Internet, all you have to do is dial 347-324-3102. And, again, dial the number 1, and we'll get you on live on air. Thanks so much, guys. All right, so Dr. Allen, what are your thoughts about treatment options and resources?
Well, you know, I'm a psychotherapist, so I would treat people by using psychotherapy. Now, there are two types of therapy that have been found to be the most effective with postpartum. I also think that they're most effective overall, but that's cognitive behavioral therapy and interpersonal therapy. So I don't know if you want me to go into details, but cognitive behavioral therapy helps women, well, people, identify and change some inaccurate perceptions they have of themselves and the world around you. So if you have some negative thoughts that are making you feel bad, they might not actually be true. There might be other ways of thinking about it that make you feel better about yourself. So, for example, if you think, I'm a bad mother, you know, very general.
Mm-hmm.
Something goes wrong and the person blames themselves, they feel guilty, I'm a bad mother. So let's look at all the experiences today where things have gone right, where you've done well. Let's, you know, think about how you helped the baby, you kept the baby clean, you fed the baby. This one little thing went wrong, but look at those 90 wonderful things that went right. You have to change the way you're looking at things to notice the positive things that are happening, not just focusing on the negative things. Because when people are depressed, they tend to just recognize negative things. They don't kind of widen their lens to look at everything that's going on about them. So, you know, CBT can really help people challenge those negative thoughts that they're having and look at things differently and in a more positive and helpful way. You know, and interpersonal therapy, that works on focusing on how you behave and interact with your family and friends and the other people in your life. And it's all about improving your relationships. And of course, if you have a baby and you have a partner and, you know, extended family all involved at that time, it's really helpful to look at how the relationships are working or not working for you.
Definitely.
So one of the things that, you know, we touched on before was self-care. So, you know, the negative thought people often have are, I should be able to do this, or I'm failing because I can't do this. You know, I should be able to look after the baby by myself. I should be, you know, should. And that's all you hear. So I help people challenge those guilty feelings and the shoulds that they have to look after themselves and accept help from other people and really build up the social support network. So they're talking to other people in their lives who understand what's going on. They provide encouragement and support, meeting other women and, or, you know, if it's general depression rather than postpartum depression, talking to other people who've been through it or going through it helps you feel less alone. You realize, like, oh, it's not just me. There's other people here. So, you know, I'm not the crazy one. Everybody's feeling like this at some point. And, you know, help. These people got help. I can get help too. So, you know, the social support part is very useful in therapy as well.
I would have to definitely piggyback off of that. I think the social support groups and things like that are definitely very, very vital when trying to overcome such obstacles as these, definitely. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Oh, that's okay. I mean, one of the things I was going to say, though, kind of long-term psychoanalysis type of therapy, I don't think that's very helpful in, like, postpartum depression. You're really needing women to help them problem solve and more practical help. That's the best approach, not something that may continue for years, looking at your own relationship with your mother. I mean, I think that's got its place, but not really in postpartum depression. Women need to talk to somebody who has been through having children themselves. They can give you some practical advice and help you problem solve, as well as dealing with the emotional issues.
Yeah, definitely. I think that the social support is so key for a lot of the different mental health issues that, you know, we face day to day. And just knowing, like you said, you're not alone and you're not crazy. That's the stigma, I think, of getting help is that they think everybody's going to think that they're crazy. And I definitely think I appreciate you for sharing that because that's so important.
I also think that antidepressants have also got a place. You know, if you've got severe anxiety or severe depression, I don't think there's anything wrong with seeking treatment that uses both antidepressants and talk therapy. So I'm not saying, oh, you must already do talk therapy. You know, sometimes when people are so depressed, they really can't take on the different coping strategies that therapy is helping them. You know, they think it's a great idea, but they're just too depressed to be motivated to do the different coping strategies.
I tell my clients, too, that are going through, I say, you know, we don't push in my practice, I don't push medicine, but I say sometimes it's needed to be able to clear your mind to get to a place where you are able to even focus on talk therapy. You know, like we said, one of the symptoms is that indecisiveness, not being able to focus and concentrate, and it's almost, you know, you just can't see how someone who is so depressed that they're, you know, can't focus and can't concentrate, or so anxious, how they're going to effectively gain coping skills or other things from talk therapy and be able to implement them if they can't, if everything's just foggy.
They think they're great ideas, you know, it's just that they can't follow through. So that's when I tell people, you know, have a consultation with a psychiatrist who specializes in pre-acute postpartum mood disorders. You know, and used together, therapy and medication can really work well in lifting a person to a place where they can start using therapy to move forward. But you want, especially if you're pregnant or postpartum, you really want to see somebody who knows about medication with breastfeeding. And, you know, you really want somebody who knows what they're talking about and can offer you lots of, you know, they need to specialize, whether it's a therapist or a psychiatrist. You really want to look for somebody who's had specific training in diagnosing and treating pregnancy and postpartum mood disorders. You just, you should call people beforehand before going to see them. You need to ask them, you know, what experience do you have? And if they're a good therapist, they're not going to mind talking to you before you come in, and they don't mind you asking questions about how long have you been working in this area? You know, are you licensed? You've got to ask all these questions that are on your mind. And when you're talking to the therapist, you'll find a connection whether you can talk to that person or not. So, you know, and if a person won't talk to you before you go in to see them, then, you know, you probably don't want to go see them.
Yeah, exactly. Because if you can't talk to them, like you said, over the phone before you get there, it's probably not going to be a good fit. Definitely agree.
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes we don't take therapy as important as we take seeing a health or a physical doctor. And, you know, I always tell clients that if you go, you're not going to keep going back to a health doctor, a medical doctor, if you don't feel right. There's not a fit. They're not listening. You don't feel like you can talk to them. They're not hearing you. It's the same thing with someone for mental health, you know, issues. If you're going to see a therapist or a counselor, you want to make sure that you're comfortable. And if it doesn't feel right, then, you know, find someone else. So I definitely agree with that.
I just wondered if there was any specific questions for me before I go, because you're right, I do have another commitment that I've got to get to.
I was just getting ready to say, I know you have to get out and run, but I wanted to thank you so much for spending the time with us here tonight. How can our listeners reach you if they do have more questions specifically about postpartum depression or when they want to get some resources? How can they reach you?
Well, they can have a look at my website, which is called drsarahallen.com, but it's short DR rather than the whole word doctor. And if you look at my website, there's various booklets you can download about how to improve your mood or a guide to pregnancy and postpartum mood disorders. Yeah, there's another one about how to stop arguing with your children. There's lots of information on there. So, you know, I do a lot with women, but also with parenting and couples work and general anxiety and depression. So if they want to visit my website, again, it's drsarahallen.com, they can get all the information for that. If they live in Illinois, they could look at the website ppdil.org. That's the Postpartum Depression Alliance of Illinois website, and that lists resources all through Illinois, support groups and treatment facilities, So I'm the director of that, and we're a non-profit organization. But that's a resource for everybody, not just in the Chicago area, but throughout Illinois.